Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
This is a reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3. It's the second reading for the fifth Sunday of Lent. And Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal of the upward prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I love that reading from Paul. I love it so much. When eight of us were professed back in 1985, profess as passionists. You see my passionist habit and my passionist sign. This means the passion of Jesus Christ. When we were professed on September 8th, the birthday of Mary, back in 1985, this is the reading that we chose to have read at our profession along with the gospel. And the reason why the eight of us had this read was because all of us had a history. We had all made mistakes. We had all had sins in the past. We had all had failures. And so this reading talks about forgetting what lies behind. This one thing I do, I press on toward the future, toward the goal. And I believe that God has a glorious future for all of us. And this was Paul's main thing, his number one goal, his number one focus. He said, I forget what lies behind and I press on toward the future. So that's why we had it read at our profession. And it's something that I hold on to all the time because as a priest, I meet people all the time who are stuck, grieving. And there's all kinds of areas such as negativity and guilt. They may be stuck in an addiction. And as a priest, I try to help them to forget the things of the past and the mistakes and the failures and the being stuck and to move forward. Really, isn't that what we're all about as Christians? Is when we follow Jesus, we are moving, we're following him. He's always on the go. The gospel for the fifth week of Lent talks about the woman caught in adultery. And at the very end of the scene where Jesus says, I don't condemn you, he says to her, go and sin no more. And I think that's such a beautiful ending because Jesus is talking about, okay, learn from what you've done, learn from the past, but don't dwell in it and don't get stuck in it, the guilt and the shame, rather go. That's exactly what we tell penitents at the end of confession, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. That's what we say at the end of Mass also, go. It's the Great Commission. It means move, go forward, forget what lies behind. And I tell people all the time, learn from the past, but don't stay stuck in it. Keep moving forward. It was Nathaniel Hawthorne who wrote a book about Puritan life in New England back in the 1600s. And he wrote a book called The Scarlet Letter. It was about a woman who was caught in adultery. And because she was caught in adultery, they took this big scarlet A and they made her wear it everywhere she went because they wanted everybody to know and they wanted to remind her of her sin of adultery. Well, Jesus takes a very different tact. And what he says is instead of reminding yourself of your sins all the time and staying stuck and having a scarlet letter A, rather, he puts the letter F on us, F for forgiven. You have a future. You have a focus. Go forward. Forget the past. You are free. So he tells that woman caught in adultery, let it go and go forward. I heard a woman that committed adultery one time. She told me, I'm going to carry this sin to my grave. Well, that's not what Jesus teaches. He teaches, okay, you've sinned. I don't condemn you. Let it go. Learn from it. Let it go. Learn from the past, but don't stay stuck in it. Let go of the guilt. Let go of the shame and press on. God has a beautiful future for you. He has a plan for you. You are forgiven. I love what Jeremiah 29:11 says. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare and not woe. Plans for a hope in a future full of blessing. So I want you to think, any of you who may feel like you're stuck in any area, any failure, any addiction, any regret, any grieving, you know, because people get stuck. That's the number one thing. Maybe it's a sin of adultery. I want you to realize that, you know what, the gospel is telling us, and really Lent is a season of grace, is telling us that we need to move forward. We need to open up our hearts for what lies in the future. Of course, the resurrection of Jesus will be coming soon. We'll hear about his passion. And we need to open ourselves up to the glorious destiny that God has for us. I was preaching one time in Louisiana, and I remember I was preaching a parish mission, and I get home, and about 2 weeks later, I get a letter in the mail, and it was from a woman, and this is what she wrote. She said, Father Cedric, I am a woman who have had an abortion. And she said, I have mercilessly beat myself up and for all these years, and I've stayed stuck in guilt and shame, and it's been so hard for me, and it's been hard to change. She said, as you were preaching, I heard a voice, and I think it was the voice of God, and it said to me, enough already, let it go. And she said, Father Cedric, I've been able to let it go and to move forward. And I think that's so beautiful. Whatever you've done, adultery, abortion, stealing, lying, cheating, whatever it may be, gossip. You know, we can beat ourselves up mercifully. If you want to do that, that's okay. But really, it's not okay. The same devil that tempts you into sin is the same devil that will heap guilt and condemnation upon you all the time. You have to recognize the fact that there's a healthy guilt and an unhealthy guilt. Healthy guilt is what we all have. And naturally, we have it because we should have it, because it helps us to avoid sin. But unhealthy guilt is when, you know, you've done something wrong and you've turned back to God and you keep heaping that guilt and that shame upon yourself. That's what evil tries to do to you. Well, when evil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. And what is his future? The lake of fire. He's going to die forever. And so don't let the devil heap condemnation upon you. That's why Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget the past and I strain forward. I press on to the good things that God has for me. Now, Paul had a storied past. For example, if you know anything about the life of Paul the Apostle, who wrote Philippians, he talked about all kinds of things in that letter to the Philippians, but that phrase, this one thing I do, is so important. Well, Paul had a storied past. For example, he was a murderer. That's right. The first martyr, Stephen, he stood there agreeing to the stoning of Stephen. He persecuted the early church. He murdered somebody. So if he had difficulty, if anybody should have difficulty with their past and staying stuck, it would have been Paul. Not only that, in the early church, there was a man named Barnabas who was an apostle. And Barnabas, his name means son of encouragement. Barnabas was a person who encouraged people. And he was for people. He built people up. Paul had an argument with Barnabas. It shows kind of what his personality was. They had a sharp contention, the Bible says. And I go like that because Paul went one way and Barnabas went another way. So he had relationship problems. Another thing that happened to Paul, and it's happened to me too, when he was preaching in Athens, he had a failure. He was preaching about the resurrection in Athens, and few people listened to him. They kind of blew him off when they heard about the resurrection. They said, oh, we'll hear you about this some other time. So he had failures in his preaching, and I've had failures in my preaching too, and it's been hard. But you know what I did? I don't stay stuck in the past. I learn from it, but I press on, and that's exactly what Paul did. Even though he had committed murder, he had had relationship problems, he had had failures, he said, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press on to the glorious future that God has for me. That's exactly what I want you to do. Whatever sins you may have, whatever you feel stuck, as I've talked about, whatever mistakes or failures you've had, there's no need to stay stuck. I do something new. Streams in the desert. Comes from the prophet Isaiah 43. It was the first reading. Desert is a very dry place. People that are stuck in the past, it's a very dry place. But streams, water, I've been to Israel. Water is a precious commodity. It's something very valuable. And in the desert, you just don't have it. But God says, I'm going to bring streams into your desert. If you're stuck in any area, I'm going to bring renewal, and so that you can move forward, so that you can have a new life and you can achieve your destiny, because I have a plan for your life and I want you to walk in it. So would you receive that during this wonderful fifth week of Lent? It's all about moving forward and getting ready for the resurrection, getting ready for Easter. And so as you watch this program, I want you to receive grace. Lent is a season of grace. Grace is God's initiative, God's working, God's power, streams. I think that visual image is so beautiful. Streams in the desert. Woman caught in adultery, go forward. Paul the Apostle, this is the one thing that I do, I press on. At our retreat center, we have people that come from all over Texas, Louisiana, and people come and they confess their sins. That's part of the highlight, part of the midpoint of the retreat, usually on Saturday morning. And sometimes what we'll do is we'll take this big metal bowl and we'll have people write down their sins on a piece of paper, and then we'll have a burning ceremony. And we'll take that bowl and we'll have people put their pieces of paper in the bowl. I love what it says in the prophet Micah, I have cast your sins into the depths of the sea. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I put your transgressions from me, says the Lord. So we'll have them put those pieces of paper in the bowl. We'll light it on fire, and we'll have a burning ceremony. And people watch as their past sins are burnt up. You let it go. You forget the past. People come to me for a general confession. Father, I want to make a general confession. Fine. They want to talk about everything that's happened in the past, because they're haunted with the guilt and the shame. Like I said, sometimes there's good guilt and there's bad guilt. Good guilt helps you to avoid sin, but bad guilt, you won't let it go. And it's the devil that tries to do that. Evil tries to heap it upon you. The same one that tempted you into sin, as I said before, is the same one who makes you feel guilty all the time about it. And so people will come with a general confession, and confession is a time to help you to let it go, to lay it down. You see, he became sin for us on the cross. This is right from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, so that we could become the very holiness of God. I am an ambassador of reconciliation. Be reconciled to God. I remember it was Norman Vincent Peale. He talked about one time he was a chaplain on a cruise ship. And if you've ever been on a cruise ship, big, huge engines fluff up that water, and you can see it just all pouring out as it's going forward. And if you look past, you can see the trail of, it's almost looking in a time machine. You can see the past. He said, I want you to take your regrets, your worries, your sins, your mistakes, and I want you to cast it right there into the past and let it go. And it was a moving ceremony for everybody. And as I said, God has done the same thing. He said, I will remember your sins no more. I have cast them into the depths of the sea. So I'm not making light of sins, especially mortal sins like adultery and abortion and things like that, but I am telling you, learn from them And as Jesus said, go forward. There's now no condemnation. I've forgiven you. I like to make the Stations of the Cross, because at our retreat center, we have these beautiful Stations of the Cross. And as I go to walk that path, I'm always struck by that first station. Jesus is condemned. And you see him standing there before Pontius Pilate, and there's the condemnation and the prediction of the crucifixion. And he stands there so nobly. And what it says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now, no condemnation for we who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, as I said before, he takes our condemnation. He takes our guilt. He takes our shame. He takes our past. And he took it to himself. He was condemned on our behalf so that we could be what's called redeemed. So your past, whatever skeletons you may have in your past, whatever mistakes, whatever failures, your past has been redeemed at the cross. You are no longer culpable of that. You have been forgiven. And as a Catholic priest, as a minister of reconciliation, I want to try to help you to let that go. So that as Jesus told the woman caught in adultery, go. Go and sin no more. Has no one condemned you? They all fell away. They all dropped their stones. Neither do I condemn you. That's such a grace. We're talking about Lent as the season of grace. Our sins are forgiven. Our past is covered over. We are a new creation in Christ. We no longer have an A on our chest, but an F for forgiven. So because of grace, we can let go of the past. And not just the long ago past, not just the sins from way back when. What about the mistakes that we make every day? What about our failures? For example, I'm thinking about, I like to play golf, and I had a 5-foot putt to win the match. I hit the putt and I looked up, the ball just missed the hole. We lost the match. I beat myself up. You made a mistake, learn from it. Next time when you hit the putt, don't look up, keep your head down, stay focused, learn from it, but let it go. You know, this too shall pass. I've learned something about myself, that I have a tendency to magnify my mistakes and to dwell on them, to make them bigger than what they are, my past sins, my mistakes. And they can be overwhelming. And I think that's a human tendency. It's not just something that I have. It's easy to magnify our mistakes and to magnify our sins and to dwell on them and to let the guilt and the condemnation overwhelm us. Really, what we ought to be doing is magnifying God. And realizing that God's mercy, his grace, and his call to move forward is stronger than any mistake, any failure, any sin. As I said before, I've made mistakes preaching in the past. I've had failures. I've had people yawning on me. I've had times that nothing happened in my preaching. But I've learned from these. I've made mistakes. I've had failures. But this one thing that I do, I press on. I strain forward. I focus on the future. Because I know that God has a glorious plan for me, and I know that God has a glorious plan for you. So it's not just the mistakes of the way past. It could be the mistakes that you've made today. It could be a sin that you've had today. Learn from it, but don't stay stuck in it. That's why this is such an important lesson for the fifth Sunday of Lent. Remember what Jesus taught? Let's make a little shift here now and talk about not only letting go, but going forward, pressing on. Jesus said, anyone who puts their hand to the plow and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. Wow. Then he preached a sermon. Get this, 3-word sermon, Jesus. One of the most important sermons he ever preached in the gospel. He said, remember Lot's wife. You remember the story, Sodom and Gomorrah, about to be destroyed because of their wicked sins. And so Lot and his wife and his family were told, get out of town now and don't look back. So as they're leaving, Lot's wife heard a noise. Sodom and Gomorrah were being destroyed, and she looked back. And you know what happened? The Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. I went to the Dead Sea, the lowest point on earth, full of salt. You can float in it. You can't sink. And there were pillars of salt all around the Dead Sea. Somebody humorously put a sign over one of the pillars of salt, and it said, Lot's wife. And I think that's funny, but it's true, you know, because people that look back aren't worth their salt. There was a song growing up when I was a young man in the 70s by the rock group Boston. It was a number one hit, not only because of the melody, but because of the words. And the words were, don't look back. Don't look back. So, in other words, we are invited today to press on, to go forward, to keep looking forward. Paul said, he used the words, I press on, I strain forward. Another way to think about it is, I lean into it. Be determined, have passion, don't be deterred. So I'm thinking about Paul of the Cross, and I'm thinking about how God has a plan B all the time. For example, sometimes your plan A got you stuck, and you know, you committed a sin, or you had a failure, or you had a mistake, and that was plan A, it didn't seem to be. God always has a plan B, and B stands for better. Think about the founder of our community, St. Paul of the Cross. He lived in the 1700s in Italy. He felt God was calling him to found a religious community. He wanted to call it the Poor of Jesus, comes to the Vatican, and he was turned away. He was devastated. He was rejected by the church that he loved. But instead of dwelling in the failure, instead of staying stuck, he turned to prayer. And in prayer, he received those streams in the desert, that grace that only comes from God. And he realized that God was calling him to found a religious community. Don't give up. Don't give up. He was calling him to found a religious community, but to call it not the Poor of Jesus, but the Passion of Jesus. Went back to the Vatican. Miraculously, this is about a month later, a couple months later, he was led in. Miraculously, had an audience with the Pope, and the Pope loved the idea. Now our community is in over 60 countries. We proclaim the redemption of Christ, the salvation that's in the cross, how Jesus works through our mistakes and our failures to bring us new life. And so he was determined, and he pressed on, Paul did. And now, as I said, we're in over 60 countries preaching the good news. I think about my own life, and I'm talking about how God's plan B is better than plan A that may not have worked out. I've been on television now for preaching the gospel for some 12, 13 years. Some networks like EWTN and TBN, many stations, Catholic stations, secular stations. But I've had some difficulties along the way. Let's just say some setbacks. One of them was a Catholic station in New York City, used to be called the Brooklyn Prayer Channel, goes to the five boroughs of New York, has a huge outreach. I sent my programs to them. By the way, they're now called Net TV, National Evangelistic Television. It used to be called the Brooklyn Prayer Channel. I sent my programs to them way back when I was starting out. The programming manager didn't like my programs and said, no, you can't air it on our network, on our station. And I was devastated. I felt so rejected because other stations accepted my programs, but the Brooklyn Prayer Channel didn't want them, and they had such a major outreach. But, you know, I didn't stay stuck. I kept pressing on. I went other areas. I tried different things. Then a couple years later, I tried the Brooklyn Prayer Channel again. Lo and behold, I didn't know it, but they had a new manager, a new programming manager. When he saw my programs, my preaching, he loved them. And he started putting them on every day. So I went from nothing with that channel, now called Net in New York, to every day. Well, that was great, and I was so happy and everything. Remember, God's plan B is better than his plan A. Now I'm on every day in New York, but the problem was I didn't have enough programs to be on every day, and I didn't want to inflict everybody with reruns all the time, so I told them, don't put me on every day, just put me on like twice a week. So they did that, but they started getting letters from people. And they were saying, where's Father Cedric? We want to hear Father Cedric. So they started putting me on every day again. And I thought to myself, you know, this is a happy problem. But my whole point is, don't give up. God has a plan. God has a destiny for you. Don't stay stuck in the past. Just because you encounter rejection or failures or mistakes or sins, don't stay stuck in the past. That's what this week of Lent is all about. It's all about moving forward. God has a glorious destiny for you. So let's wind this up. I'm talking about Paul the Apostle, and he said, this one thing that I do, and remember, Paul had his mistakes, his sins. He had committed murder. He had a breakup with Barnabas, the great encourager. He had failed preaching at times. So instead of dwelling on that, and remember, he's in prison as he's writing this. Instead of dwelling on all that, he said, this one thing I do, I press on. I'm determined. I'm resilient. If God is for me, who can be against? And I pray that streams in the desert will flow into your heart right now, that you won't stay stuck, that you will go, as Jesus said, sin no more, learn from the past, but press on to the glorious future that God has for you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.